This is Michael Osterlink, and I'm talking to Ryan Ellis, Director of Tax Policy at Americans for Tax Reform. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing great.
Good. Ryan, I know you're a tax policy expert, and one of the things we want to talk to you today about is HSAs. First of all, just general HSA 101. What are they, and how can people get them, and how are they used today?
Well, HSA stands for Health Savings Account, and a Health Savings Account is a type of tax-free savings account, much like an individual retirement account, an IRA. The difference between an HSA and an IRA is that an HSA is used to pay for medical expenses that you have. So you can put money into an HSA. You can do that tax-deductibly. The money grows on a tax-deferred basis, and provided that you make a withdrawal for a medical expense, any withdrawals from an HSA are completely tax-free. So it's a terrific, terrific tax benefit. In order to have an HSA, you have to be enrolled in a health insurance plan which has a high deductible. A deductible is a type of is a mechanism within an insurance policy where you're on the hook for that amount of money in the course of a year before any insurance benefit actually kicks in. And in the case of an HSA qualified health insurance plan, the deductible has to be at least, I think it's $1,100 for individuals and $2,200 for families. So you're on the hook for the first $1,100 of health expenses in the course of a year. If you're single, $2,200. If you're married, that means that when you go to the doctor, it doesn't cost a $10 copay. It might cost $185.76. It's whatever the actual cost of the doctor visit or the hospital visit or the prescription is. If you have a high-cost year and you hit that $1,100 or $2,200 level, the insurance kicks in after that. So you might ask yourself, well, how do I pay for that $1,100? The answer is with the health savings account. You can put up to a little less than $3,000 a year tax-deductibly into a health savings account, $6,000 if you're married. And whatever you don't use in that health savings account doesn't go away. It grows and builds over time. So over the course of several years, you might have $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 in a health savings account, and having a deductible of $1,100 or $2,200 really isn't that much of an impediment at that point.
When you say medical expenses, you can use your HSA to pay for it. What would that include? Would that include drugs, doctor's visits, hospital visits?
Yes, it would include any visits to your doctor, including any lab fees and office expenses. It would include any prescription medicines that you are prescribed by your doctor. It would include any visits to a hospital or to other skilled facility like a hospital. In addition, it would include some things that your insurance doesn't cover, like, for instance, durable medical equipment is a good example. Medical travel is another example of things that you can use your HSA for. The point is that the HSA is available for you to use on medical expenses, both those things that are related to your health insurance coverage as well as any other medical expenses you might have.
For your high deductible catastrophic insurance that you'd have to get as part of the HSA program, are there limitations on who can get these kind of plans?
Well, there are some.
Existing conditions and such?
Well, there are always some. First of all, with any insurance plan, you have to qualify from underwriting. So if you're an individual and you're on the individual market, you're going to have to go through some underwriting to make sure that you qualify. That's why a lot of states have created what are called high-risk pools, where people that can't qualify very easily for medical insurance because of a pre-existing condition, let's say, can pool together with other people and through a subsidized high-risk pool can actually purchase insurance anyway, and mostly that insurance becomes high-deductible. The thing that makes a high-deductible plan good for people that are on the individual market is not only are the premiums cheaper because the insurance company isn't as likely to have to tap their own resources in any given year, but also you're a better insurance risk generally. If you're paying for your own medical expenses up to a pretty decent level, $1,100 or $2,200, then the insurance company is going to say, well, we can probably take a risk on this person, not really costing us a lot of money, relative to if I wanted a first dollar coverage option. If you are in a small group or a large group, there aren't any real pre-existing condition problems there. So the small employers and large employers can easily switch over to health savings accounts, and many of them have at this point. And then the big group that can't really benefit that well from HSAs are the over 65 community because they're on Medicare. People on Medicare, there is a high deductible option within Medicare, but it's not very well used and it doesn't really integrate with HSAs. Very few states also for the poor and near poor population very few of them have an HSA integration with Medicaid.
Okay. Now, with HSAs, are there legal limitations that have been put in place because of laws that have been passed after the HSA came into effect? Okay, I'm thinking Obamacare as an example. What limitations are now in place that might, if they are in practice or in effect, have limited what you think HSAs could have done versus what they should be doing into the future?
Well, there are three limitations on HSAs that were in the Obamacare law. The first one is, I mentioned that if you take a distribution from an HSA for medical purposes, it's a completely tax-free distribution. But let's say that you take a distribution for the proverbial flat-screen TV. Well, under the old rules, you have to pay taxes on that amount of money you took out, plus a 10% penalty on top of the taxes. The Obamacare law increases that 10% penalty to a 20% penalty. So the punishment for taking money out of your HSA for a non-medical purpose went up. In some ways, that's a good thing because it incentivizes people to use HSAs for what they're meant to be used for. But the real motivation behind it was to stop people from opening up an HSA in the first place for fear that they could never get their money again. Second limitation was prior to Obamacare, you could use your health savings account to purchase non-prescription medicines. So you can purchase aspirin, you can purchase any other medicine at your local drugstore, even if you didn't have a prescription for it. Now, as of this year, as of 2012, you can no longer use your health savings account to purchase non-prescription medicines. You have to get a prescription for any medicine that you get, which is ridiculous, because that was obviously a medical expense. That's no monkeying around there. If you're buying an aspirin, it's obviously a medical expense. But you can't do that anymore. Third limitation that has been placed on by Obamacare is a potential limitation. We have yet to see how this is going to work. Under the Obamacare law, everyone knows about the individual mandate. Individual mandate requires you to purchase what's called qualifying health insurance. And qualifying health insurance is a term largely defined by the Department of Health and Human Services and other federal regulators who will define what is and is not qualified health insurance. Many people are fearful that in writing the definition of qualifying health insurance, they will exclude a high deductible health insurance plan, an HSA qualified health insurance plan from that. So you would be forced to purchase an HSA non-qualified health insurance plan, meaning that people couldn't open any more HSAs or contribute to ones that they already had. That's a danger for down the road, though.
Do we know how many people now use and have HSA accounts?
HSAs right now are about 15% of the insured population, meaning picture everyone with America with health insurance, minus people on Medicare, people on Medicaid, people that are receiving benefits from the VA or the military. So your private sector population, which means that you, in terms of covered lives, that's 15 to 20 million Americans as a covered life. And that includes dependents and spouses. But it's a growing number. You have to remember HSAs have been around for 7 years now. So they haven't been around very long, but they're an exploding and very fast-growing part of the health insurance market, and for good reason. The premiums are less expensive. You know, if you have a traditional health insurance plan, you'd see your insurance premiums growing 5, 6, 7, 8% a year very easily over the last 7 years. But if you have a high-deductible health insurance plan where you have skin in the game and it's your responsibility to shop around for a good deal for your health care, the insurance companies have priced that in, and you only have growth there of about 2% a year. So you see a lot of smaller employers especially switching over.
Now, Ryan, when you personally and ATR collectively are successful in what you're attempting to do in terms of expanding HSAs, can you give us an idea of how they would be different if you could do your magic wand and implement whatever rules, regulations, and law changes you'd like to see?
Sure. There's about a half dozen or a dozen things that you could do to HSAs to make them better. First is you can roll back some of the problems that were in Obamacare. You could once again allow people to purchase non-prescription medicines with their health savings accounts. Another thing you could do is you could increase the ability to make contributions to these accounts in terms of the dollar figure. Right now, there's a separate limitation on the high deductible health plan called an out-of-pocket limit, meaning that there are sometimes some costs even after you've hit the deductible, and altogether all those costs can't hit, I believe it's $5,500 single and $11,000 married. The idea being you should be able to put the out-of-pocket limit in as the maximum contribution to an HSA, not merely some arbitrary $3,000 or $6,000 figure like we have now, but actually about double that, probably $6,000 and $12,000 or so would be, I think, a fair way to do it. Another thing you can do with health savings accounts is right now you are only allowed to use your health savings account to pay for medical expenses incurred after you've opened the account. A small change that would make all the difference in the world is allowing you to use your health savings account for medical expenses incurred after you enrolled in the high deductible health plan. For a lot of people, they will enroll in the high deductible health plan and then wait until they have a medical expense to actually open their HSA. And that medical expense that they incur after opening after enrolling in the insurance plan, but before opening the account, you can't use your HSA to pay for that medical expense today. So retro changing that rule to say that you can use your HSA for anything after you've enrolled in the high deductible plan, I think is another good step in the right direction. There's all sorts of things you can do. Orrin Hatch has a bill that has all of this in here. So if you just go to Thomas online, which is Congress's website, I don't have the bill number off the top of my head, but he has a list of everything in there. Just look for Orrin Hatch's legislation. It has to do with health savings accounts, and you'll find it all there.
I believe also his bill contains the ability for people who use the HSAs for dietary supplements.
Absolutely.
Joining gyms, medical foods,
all that
things,
stuff.
Things along those lines too.
Things that you currently can't use it for, because dietary supplements are, I think, as much of a medical expense as certainly non-prescription medicines would be. So it's a little bit of an arbitrary distinction to say you can use your HSA for one thing that certainly appears medical and not for another.
Great. Well, I've been talking to Ryan Ellis, Director of Tax Policy of Americans for Tax Reform. You can learn more at www.atr.org. Thank you, Ryan.
Sure thing.